This talk was recorded at Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society in Los Angeles and is freely offered for your enjoyment. For more information, please visit againstthestream.org.
So I am in pain right now. I pulled a muscle in my back and it feels horrible. So I'm going to talk about pain tonight, physical and emotional pain. But we're also going to do maybe a little bit more meditating than normal. Because what I want to do is, there's three basic strategies on how to deal with our pain. And so I want to talk a little bit about each one, but then practice each one. And then have time after each practice for some questions or comments or feedback. So it's going to be structured a little bit different. So if you were wanting the 30-minute sit tonight, I apologize. I know how attached we get to our formats and formulas. But I'm hoping this will be beneficial to everybody. Because I know it has been to me. And the thing about having these three different types is they're called for at different times. So one of them may not feel quite right to you tonight, or maybe two of them won't, because what your kind of particular brand of pain for today or this week or this month might not fit this type. But having them sort of in your toolkit, in your back pocket, if you do need one of these three types later, will be helpful. So yeah, like I said, we'll experiment with them and see how they fit for you tonight. But part of being in this physical pain that I'm in is I'm going to admit it right here and now. I took half of a pain pill so that I could even sit up. So I'm a tiny bit foggy. So I'll just share that little morsel with you. So let's start with the first type of practice. So this is all in reference to actually our meditation practice, is what I'm actually referring to right now when I'm talking about these three different methods or tools. But obviously any of them can be used in daily life as well. But the first one, the first tool in our seated practice is mindfulness, just bare attention, bare awareness. And so often when we're in pain, is anyone in this room actually in any kind of pain today? And I'm not only talking about physical pain, maybe emotional pain, maybe mental pain. Anybody had anything like that at all, like this year, this week? So that I'm not talking out in left field, and you know, the typical cliched response to that would be, if you haven't had any, you don't need to be here. So often, and I'm finding this more and more as my practice gets deeper and deeper, and as I've been practicing longer and longer, that I found that I was mistaken many times when I was sort of practicing with mindfulness. I was mistaken, and I was using this sort of mindfulness or this present time awareness as some sort of bypass, as sort of a self-soothing mechanism. I found that when I was in any kind of pain or discomfort or agony, and again, when I'm using the word pain here, I'm not always meaning physical pain. I'm talking about all of our dukkha, our suffering. I found that I was really good at and very skillful at present time awarenessing myself out of my problem, right? So I could get really present. I could just take a few breaths, become aware of where I am. Yeah, I got really skillful at, then I would be fine, right? I was suddenly feeling better. I took a few breaths. I sort of oriented to where I am, and now I feel better. Wow, how cool is that? But yet I wasn't really taking care of anything. I've kind of found that it was just kind of like I said, a self-soothing mechanism that was really helping me actually avoid some of the deeper things or some of the things I really needed to come into contact with. So what I'm learning now, and that's what I find is so fascinating about this practice, is, you know, I'm 15 years into this, and the fact that still discovering things is so beautiful, and I love it, is that, no, that isn't what's going to help me get to the nugget of learning how to experience my pain. Ajahn Sumedho, who's one of our forefathers in this practice, in the Thai forest tradition, he likes to say, it's not about understanding our pain, it's about actually standing under our pain. To really be and learn what this sort of first noble truth of suffering means, we really have to come deeply into contact with. We have to really know what suffering feels like. And our tendency, and of course it's our tendency because it's been our survival for so long, is to not have to feel any sort of pain, right? Which makes sense. It's like, I don't want to feel pain, I want to survive. So what is being asked of, and like I said, I'm learning this more and more, is actually, no, touching that pain, coming into contact with it. So the first tool is this piece, the mindfulness piece, the bare awareness piece, and what we're going to practice it right now, of allowing that pain to be there. Allowing yourself to sort of face that darkness and see it. And what actually begins to happen is when we stop running from the thing we've always been running from, when we stand still for a minute, oftentimes, and not always, that's why this is one of three, we find it's not as bad as we thought it was. Right? For so long, I was running from my loneliness forever. Since the day I was born, I've had this existential, painful loneliness. And so how that showed up for me was like just always dating the wrong guy, right? Like all through high school, all through my 20s, I would just hook up with the wrong people over and over again because I thought that to not be alone was what was going to heal my loneliness. Well, that actually ended up causing me a lot more suffering. And once I finally sat still and stopped running from my loneliness, it was actually very beautiful. It was very tender and vulnerable. And now it's like it's almost an enjoyable part of who I am, you know, and me being me. So that's what I mean is if we can just stop the running sometimes and touch it, we can actually see the whole beauty of life instead of the half beauty of life. So we're going to sit. I think we'll probably do like 15, 15, 15 or something like that. You know, 15 for each. Maybe 20. We'll see. Yeah. And one of the other pieces you guys might have heard this acronym RAIN used for practicing mindfulness, and it might be helpful right now for you. And so what RAIN stands for is recognize, accept, investigate, and then non-attachment, or sometimes it's said as non-self. So when sitting, it's recognizing what arises. So if in this regard, we're talking about the pain. So if your pain is sadness, if your pain is fear, if your pain is anxiety, if your pain is actually a physical pain in the ass, which is what I have, it's not really my ass, it's my lower back, then recognizing where it is. The second piece, the acceptance piece, is crucial. So much, this running part I'm talking about, is we don't want to accept that we're in any kind of pain because we somehow think that if we accept it, we're going to have to live in it forever, that it's then going to then define us. So this is a really crucial piece, allowing, I guess another, recognize, accept, or allow. We could use both of those words. Investigate is just to look at it, to allow yourself just to see what this thing is that you've been running from for so long, or that seems so scary. And then the last one is, if we can allow ourselves not to identify with it, not to attach to it. Like I said, we kind of make that part of our personality. You know, my parents were really fucked, so I get to be lonely. So like that's part of my angst. And, you know, and like that becomes like the shroud, the coat that we wear. So this way of like, oh yes, this is just this. I don't have to become it. It does not have to be me all the time. Recognize, accept, investigate, and non-identification.
Uh-huh. When you say investigate, do you mean investigate the body sensations connected to the thought, or the
train
of, you know,
thoughts
connected to the thought, or both? Or, yeah.
Okay. No, I appreciate that, and I actually have that in my notes, so you're smart, and you... thank you for bringing that up. So when you do have, let's say, an emotional feeling of pain or of suffering, oftentimes it is the train of thoughts, right, that perpetuates it. We get caught in the story of why and how I was hurt, or I was abandoned, or I was, and then we get caught in the story of who did it to me, and, you know, we go on this ride. So really skillful and very helpful to allow... to allow this sort of emotional pain to be a sensory pain. To see where does your anxiety live? What is anxiety in the body? Well, for me, I know that my throat gets dry and my jaw clenches and my heart beats really fast and my armpits sweat, right? So this is the sensation of anxiety. So investigating that piece, seeing where it lives, how it lives, how it's alive in you, what it looks like, when it's not just this, you know, dominant, perpetual, obsessive thought. Viktor Frankl says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies our freedom and our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our happiness. So with mindfulness, what we can do is we can actually, there's a clarity that happens when we allow ourselves to see what's really there versus running from what's there and creating a story around it and using these coping mechanisms so that we don't have to feel it. If we allow ourselves to truly see what's there with clarity, there's a lot of space. We get very contracted around an idea, around fear. And when we allow that to open up a little bit, to sort of let the weave unravel by just allowing ourselves to sit in it and sit with it, this is how mindfulness frees us. Here we have choice. Here we don't have to believe the story. We don't have to fall prey to our old habits like we do over and over and over again. We have the opportunity to do it in a different way because we're seeing it before we're reacting or responding to it. So we're going to practice it, and then if there's questions. Obviously, mindfulness is a 25,000-year-long topic we can talk about, right? So I'm giving super abbreviated, you know, scrunchy definitions. So that we can do all three of these and practice with them, okay? So let's do the next one, because it's not always skillful or helpful to go into our pain like this, right? To use the sort of bare awareness mindfulness. Sometimes it's just too intense, especially if we're dealing with trauma or if we're dealing with really severe pain. I found myself last night... because I pulled a muscle or something in my back, but I keep spasming, like to the point where, for any of you ladies in here who have ever had kids, it felt like labor contractions, but that lasted about 15 minutes. And so just this really, really, really intense pain. And then it would go away, but I couldn't get comfortable last night ever, so I didn't sleep much. But what I found, and it was really interesting because I'm such a Dharma dork, that, you know, my head just instantly goes to, how is this a teaching? Like, what is this? And I was just like, I kept getting into this, how we're constantly living in this space of trying to get comfortable, always. Or it's this razor's edge we live on, always negotiating and navigating our whole lives to just be comfortable. So that's what I got out of last night, right? So I was like, wow, I'm just, because I couldn't find, there was the tiniest little place that I was comfortable. And so I'd stay there, right? And hold on to it. And I just, and then that stopped being comfortable. So we do that. And there's a whole lot of other space out there that we're not going to because it's that space that we're not comfortable in. There's that little thing that's on the internet, you know, it's like my comfort zone or whatever, and a little arrow, and then it's like where the magic happens, and it's the big circle. So it's kind of like that, you know, but we're so afraid that we have to stay in the comfort zone. So I don't know if that has anything to do with what I'm talking about, but in a way it does. It's like how that pain rules us. It really does. It totally controls us. So we have to be able to find a way to cohabitate with it so that we're not always living on that little edge, right? So the next one, I think it's called resourcing. I'm doing the somatic experiencing course right now, and we call it resourcing, but I heard a Dharma teacher the other day call this resourcing. So I kind of got excited because I always, of course, back to the Dharma dork, think that everything that ever existed that has anything to do with healing came from the Buddha. So I was like, yes, even this came from him. I think the word probably wasn't used back then. But so how this one works is touching in a little bit to your pain. So allowing yourself to experience it, and then allowing yourself to experience something else for a little while, something that's pleasurable or neutral that's happening in this moment. So maybe if something is physically just uncomfortable in your body, if you're in any sort of physical pain, then you would go to a part of your body that isn't in physical pain. And the same would be true for emotional pain, right? Especially if we go back to the sensory aspect of our emotional pain, where if, you know, if we have a broken heart, you know, just really allowing ourselves to feel it here. So the same would be true. Then find a part of your experience that isn't in the pain. Because we get so used to getting into what's wrong that we forget to look at what's right now, because it's not always wrong all the time. It can feel like it, but if we start sort of acclimating, is that what the word I want to use, to finding what's right, the what's right gets to be highlighted over and over if we keep allowing it to. So this is kind of like that. It's like touching in a little bit to the pain and touching in a little bit to what's right. Okay? So that's what we're going to do next. I don't mean to like make you guys feel pain, but I do want this to be helpful. You know, that's why we're doing this, is so that we can have some sort of freedom from our suffering, right? So if it means us practicing with it in here, even if it means having to pull something up and then getting pissed off because you can't, right? I'm hoping that it's helpful for you later somewhere. So this isn't about bypassing or avoiding. Okay, because we are allowing ourselves to touch in. But it's this little toe in, toe out dance. And so we're just creating some balance. Really good practice. Very helpful practice, especially like I said, I'm doing this somatic experiencing, so which is to deal with trauma. And so people who've had a lot of traumas, you know, whether it's developmental trauma or a very intense one-time trauma that we can't just dive into. There's just a way that we go into it a little bit and then pull back out again. Go into it a little bit more, pull out again a little bit more, and then we build this capacity. That's what we're doing in this practice, is we're building capacity. We're building capacity to trust ourselves, and that we can hold these feelings, these emotions. You know, there's three types of dukkha. One is the mental, and one is the mental and physical, The second is impermanence. And the third is this sort of existential Sartre, you know, crisis of that fleeting happiness that always has an underwriting, you know, suffering. It's the clinging. It's the second, you know, it's the second noble truth. It's like, that's exactly what the second noble truth is. What do we do about it? I think that this is a really great way to work with it. This sort of touching into a little bit. We can't make it go away. So interesting though for you to, in this, really try to find something. Get super simple with it. Like, say, my ankle feels really fine right now. You're not going to get, yes, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, don't go to something that you're going to feel lost around and, you know, like, try to keep it super simple. Something that right now, because big trauma, we don't want to touch big trauma. We want to touch little pieces of it. And we want to match it with little pieces of, because the point is to have some relief over here. Because you're attaching, what you're doing is doing pain, and that's not.
That wasn't the
exercise. That's not, yeah. you're kind of doing number one still. So see if you can find what right now is okay. Even if it's neutral, neutral's fine too. It doesn't even have to be pleasant. Okay. There's three of these. And you can kind of take your pick at different times when you need it. But again, I'm going to say like with Andy, you can't find something that is just okay. Like find something that you don't need to judge or strive towards or criticize about. And find something that's just okay right now. See if it's possible. And maybe it's not right now. So maybe number two isn't good. Do one. And also for you, I'm also thinking about what you said about I can sit with the pain, you know. So it's not about tolerating or, you know, like weathering through it. It's really about allowing it, right? Allowing. And so there's a softening in that that's a little bit different than I can do it, you know. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, I think I'm able.
Okay, let's do the third one. You guys are actually going to get more than your typical 30 minutes of sitting time, but that's okay. So the third one is loving kindness. It's metta. It's compassion. You know, this is holding our pain with love, holding our pain with kindness. Holding our pain with care. So it's a little different than just the meeting, right? So the first one was the bare attention, just meeting it, knowing it, looking at it, investigating it, being with it. First one. Second one, titrating in and out of it. So this one is really just holding it. Like Mickey holds his new baby when it's crying. You know, this way that so often when we're in pain, like I said before, we want to make it go away, we want to get rid of it, we want to push it away somehow, and usually it's with pleasure. But in this, we're just allowing ourselves to be really tender and loving towards our pain. Compassion. That's what compassion is. Compassion is pain plus kindness equals compassion. The formula. So that's what we're going to do now for about 10 minutes. This again is a whole conversation, a whole practice. So we'll just do a lightweight compassion practice if that's possible. Like I said, for about 10 minutes. Is there anything else I wanted to say? No. Well, I think it's one thing to sort of act entitled around our pain. Like I said, there are some people, I think, that walk around with this pain jacket on, you know, and it's like how we live. So I agree with, I don't what we're talking about isn't necessarily like babying our pain or like saying I deserve to have this, I'm entitled to it, and let's feel it. It's not so much that, but it is a recognition. And I don't know you, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you notice that that's not serving you somehow, and it's coming out somewhere else sideways, which oftentimes or sometimes maybe it could, that would be what you could look at, what you could investigate. And maybe it's not. Maybe that's totally fine. I mean, it's certainly totally noble, you know? There was a kid that I teach a bunch of high school kids, like, the kids that have been pushed out and rejected by everyone else. And he was saying something sort of similar. We were talking about gratitude today, and he was saying, well, I feel like such an asshole because, you know, they were watching some, you know, Easter Seals commercial or something where kids are really bad. You know, he only lives in South Central. He doesn't have it bad enough. There's kids who have it worse than him. So he was feeling guilty. He was feeling bad for feeling like he wished he had more. And I kind of had this, and then he had this sort of recognition that, oh, in a way, I'm disregarding. There's a way that, and it's a little different. There's a way that he found that if he could realize that he feels bad sometimes, somehow it was honoring those kids. How do I want to word this? It's okay to feel pain. That's what I want, how I want to word it. I was getting too complicated with this thing and it wasn't going to make sense. So tell me something that you feel guilty about. Like, what would be one of those day-to-day pains?
I don't even know. I mean, it just doesn't come up. Because the minute anything, before I investigate what it is, there's a guilt and I just push it down.
Okay, so, good. So could you maybe let yourself feel what that is, maybe? Okay.
Yeah.
Next time I see you, let's talk about it again. Try it for a week. Just try it.
That might come good.
Yeah, whatever the dissatisfaction. Because it might just be a minor disgruntlement, right? Like, I really wish I could have that Porsche or whatever. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. But you know what I mean? Like, if it... And go, oh, that's jealousy. Like, oh, what does jealousy feel like? What does envy feel like in my body? And just allow yourself to experience it. And it'll probably pass like that anyway. But just see what happens, just as an experiment. Because there are these like spiritual bypasses that we do, you know, and it's it's almost like we don't allow ourselves to fully experience our experience because it's not spiritual, it's not Buddhist, or it's not whatever, you know? So I'm curious. I don't know. I'm guessing you asked the question because it causes you some sort of discomfort, or maybe not. It was just a...
No, yeah, it does. It's causing the discomfort. Okay. I'm feeling guilty about,
yeah.
About it.
Right. So maybe you just need to feel the guilt. Maybe that's the one that... I don't know. I mean, I wish I could know more, and I wish I... But, yeah, maybe it's the guilt to investigate. Yeah.
In the first two exercises, in this last one, you named, like, a dozen...
Things.
I was like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah, that one too, that one too. In the first two exercises, all I could really do was relive scenario and identify or name the feeling, but I just felt like I was reliving, but I wasn't really, didn't feel helpful. And I felt like that was happening in the third one. And then I just, what I did to sort of make better use of my time, good or bad, was I imagined my pain. I mean, I suffer from plenty of things, plenty of uncomfortable, plenty of the time, but I imagined it as like, without being able to name it, I just imagined my pain as like a feral, scared, dirty, hungry cat. And all I did was is just like you would approach a feral cat, as I like just sort of imagine sitting by, like just having that energy of like I just want the cat to feel safe around me, and then just sitting by the cat, and then, you know what I mean, and then sort of that building that connection, and that at least I felt like I was able to connect with
that's
whatever
beautiful
the source of pain was.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so whatever you need to use like that, because sometimes we can't love our pain. Like, what does that even look like? What is that? So, yeah, the feral cat is great. Hold it, cuddle it, and don't get scratched by it.
You have just listened to a podcast from Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society. If you'd like to make a contribution to help support these teachings, please visit againstthestream.org.